Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back to the On the Preds draft special. This is part two of our On the Preds draft coverage. We are here with, of course, Sean Smith of On the Forecheck and also Eric Dune of On the Forecheck as well, who covers all of the draft and prospects for OTF and has done so for about 5 years now. And if you haven't heard part one, you got to check it out because we talked about how awesome this draft is. And we also talked about Jeremy Lauzon, and Eric loved the Jeremy Lauzon signing. Big fan. Sean loved it too. We are here to talk more about the draft. So let's go ahead and jump right into it. The Nashville Predators, they pick at number 17 of the first round. They only have one first round pick. This is their only option. What do you, Eric, think they will do with this pick?
I kind of see two scenarios playing out here. And the first one is that they trade back. I think after pick five, the draft board gets really interesting and can go a lot of directions. And depending on what those directions are, pick 17, like a player available at 17 and a player available at back 20s of the first round may not be that different, but it depends on what their draft board is and who they really like. You know, that I say that because they don't then wouldn't pick again until 82nd overall, right? So you're sitting on 60 picks in between their first and their second pick. And then of course they pick two slots later at 84 in the pick they got in the Victor Arvidsson trade, but that's a lot of time to wait. So they also don't have a sixth round pick this year. So in the interest of, quantity or maybe just more spread out quality, I could see a scenario where they trade back here. And depending on what the board looks like, I don't think it's a bad idea.
Let me back up a second. Let's back up, because I think it's interesting that you talk about trading back. Because I guess before we really need to talk about who they could draft if they actually draft someone at 17, I think we actually need to talk about what do they need to go get? What is it that they would potentially be looking at to upgrade? Maybe analyzing their not completely, but in terms of their prospect situation right now, can they not pass up on? If they have the pick at 17 and there's a particular type of person, a type of player there that they really need to get right now, is there that person or?
Yeah. I would look at their track record recently in the first round. They've invested in the first few rounds, really. They've invested a lot in forwards to varying degrees of success or to pedigree. Tomasino, Afanasio, Evangelista, Svechkov, LaRue. The defense pipeline is not, I would say, thin per se, but we're not in the era where we, where they had drafted Carrier, Lard, and Girard, and the future kind of looked set, right? Funny how we thought back then, but Ferentz is coming along. You got a player like Adam Willsby coming over this year. Luke Prokop is going to be in the AHL next season, et cetera, et cetera. I think there's going to be a good number of defensemen available here at 17 that could interest them. And if that is the case, then, that would probably be the position I target. Although I would always advise just draft best player available. But they have been known to kind of, fall in love with some players here or there. And I could see that being the case again this season. So.
Okay. All right. Okay, Sean, I have a question for you. Sean's here as well. And
yeah,
so
I'm here.
Look, you are here.
I'm just going to say this before you ask me anything about the draft. I want to say this is important. Remember those shirts? They're bumper stickers or books or I don't know, whatever it was that would always say, like, everything I need to know I learned in kindergarten, right? Remember
yeah.
those?
Yeah.
Everything I know about the draft I learned from Eric.
Yeah. Same thing. Yeah. Yeah.
So whatever you're about to ask me may be heavily biased toward whatever he just said. So you know.
Well, it's actually a question for everyone because I was looking at the Predators draft history, and I just noticed something, and I just thought it was kind of funny. And so if you look at the last 10 years of the Predators draft, so starting with 2012 through 2021,
okay,
and look at so only skaters, no goalies, but and look at the top. Let me count. Count how many there are. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. The top five skaters in terms of points scored in the NHL. None of them are with the Predators anymore.
Oh man!
One of them is definitely Fiala, right?
Yeah, Fiala is number one. He has in terms of points scored, he has 283. No, I'm sorry, he's not number one. Sorry, he's number three actually.
Is this all rounds? Every round?
Yes, every round. Yeah. Right, correct. So Fiala's gone. Victor Arvidsson is gone.
Yeah.
Seth Jones.
That's the third one. Sam Girard.
Yes, Girard.
Jimmy Vesey.
All right, Alex, we're really scraping the bottom of the barrel here.
And then tied for fifth, equal in points, is Colton Sissons. Colton Sissons has 135 career points. Jimmy Vesey has 135 career points, which is crazy to me. I don't even know where he plays right now. I couldn't even.
Jimmy Vesey won't be threatening Colton Sissons next season for that fifth spot. Right. So.
But I just your point about forward them like throwing a lot of picks at forwards recently is like, so this is the guy whoever they drafted for. This is the guy that in 5 years is going to be traded to the Kings or to the Flyers in order to get out of a bad contract or
thrown in as a sweetener on a Ryan Johansson trade.
exactly. So like these draft if the draft history holds up for the Predators, they're either going to draft a really solid defenseman that ends up playing well and becoming a full-time NHLer, or they're going to draft a forward that has a lot of potential and doesn't do well in Nashville and then gets traded and goes somewhere else and has success.
David Poile.
Not that all those guys didn't have success. Obviously, Victor Arvidsson had a ton of success here, but like, you know, it.
But he was also a third round pick, fourth round pick.
Yeah.
That wasn't like a high, that was more of a flyer than anything.
Right. So I guess, Sean, that really wasn't even a question. It was just kind of a statement that I was hoping to get your take on. But
well, Alex, what you're missing here is that this will be a problem not for future David Poile, but Brian Poile.
Yes. Yeah. It will be a problem for Brian Poile or if there's any other Poiles that want to line up for that job.
Sean, I think you should throw your hat in the ring.
I'm not a Poile. And I'll be honest. The first thing I would do if I were the general manager would be to hire Eric for all of my drafting needs.
What would you hire me for?
Come off that.
What would you hire me for?
Just to chill. Just to hang out.
Hype man.
I pay you an executive salary to chill, right?
Yeah. Sounds
maybe throw in some keeping it real, you know? Just an idea.
Drink some coffee. Yeah. I would like to see the Nashville Predators under a Sean Smith general management. I would like to see what happens.
Like if Sean were to draft only on vibes, it couldn't be that much worse than how the team does.
It would have ended up with Zach LaRue either way. So
exactly.
Yeah. We might talk about him later.
Maybe past that, I don't know. Just going to be a lot of sobbing and just confusion. A lot of things will come up missing. It's not going to be a good situation.
What I'm hearing you describe is Preds Twitter every time David Ferentz or Igor Afanasyev wasn't in the Admirals lineup this season, tweeting at me.
Pretty much.
Why were they tweeting at you? Well,
they were like, "What's wrong with that?"
That was probably me asking why. Specifically, Ferentz. He was one that kind of.
Well, he got hurt. He got hurt at the end of the season, so why he pretty much missed it.
And then Afanasyev, but Afanasyev played a lot. I thought.
Yeah, he was a healthy scratch here and there. On the stretch, he was scratched a little more than in the playoffs too.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, maybe some of those names will come up in part three when we talk about that. But so let's get back to specifically this draft, and if they do pick, I do want to hear some names from you on like possible names that they could pick. Before we do that, I want to tell everyone real quick about Relax the Back. If you want to work better, live better, feel better every day, you got to go to Relax the Back. Their store is in Green Hills, 2020 Glen Echo Road. You can go there. There's a sleep agent on hand. He can talk to you about any issues you're having with sleep or pain. You've just got to check it out. They have so many options for customized comfort when you sleep, work, or just relax at home. It's the place for recovery too. So like if you're recovering from an injury or a sports thing that you did, if you did a sports thing, like, you know, Sean, you do sports things sometimes.
You know, third base coaching is a sports thing, right?
There you go. You can recover from your third base coaching efforts in a nice zero gravity chair.
Ooh, that sounds really nice.
There you
nice.
Go. You don't understand how good that sounds. You can get a zero gravity chair at the third, like while coaching third base, right? Couldn't you do that?
I'd like that. Yeah. I would take it. I might not be able to coach third base as well.
There you go. You've just got to go check out the store. Walk in, tell them that you want to resolve your pain issues or talk about sleeping better. Check out the four pillars of wellness: healthy sleep, healthy work, healthy body, healthy mind. Okay. I want to hear names, Eric. I want to hear some names of players that are going to get drafted. I don't want to hear about trading back and about recovering some draft picks between 17 and 82 or whatever it is. Let's hear some names. Who are the Preds going to draft?
Yeah. You know, I think that whenever they come up 17, there should be kind of a good group of defensemen available. A few of whom I like. The first one that stands out to me is Pavel Minchikov, who plays for Saginaw in the OHL. I would say there's kind of three here in this, like, this three CHL defensemen that are, like, viewed as first-round talents. It's him, it's Denton Matyachek, who plays for Moose Jaw in the WHL, and it's Kevin Korchinski, who plays for Seattle in the WHL. They each kind of bring a bit of a different style. They're both all three are very offensive-minded. I like Minchikov the best for a few reasons. I think he's the best defender of the three. He's got a decent frame, comes in at around 6'1". He's a pretty good skater, got good kind of four-way mobility. I think he defends his gaps well. I think he controls the defensive zone well. He's a good shooter. From the point, contrary to someone like Korchinski, who I think is a pretty weak shooter. Overall, I think he's you know, an aggressive offensive player, but not too aggressive. So he'll lead the rush,
Pavel Minchikov.
Correct. You know, he'll lead a rushing transition, but not all the time. He'll, dive down below the faceoff dots and, you know, do a kind of a punch turn and buy time for his teammates, but not all the time. And I think he, you know, he knows he's a good shooter. He's kind of got a versatile offensive game. Whereas I find Korchinski and Matyachek a little more one-dimensional in their offense per se. So I think if Minchikov's available, I think that's a really solid pick. And someone who I think could kind of become a good number two, maybe number three defenseman in the NHL. Another name that's kind of there, bit of a different player, another defender is Leon Beschel, Swiss defender, obviously a good track record with those in Nashville. I think if anyone watches Leon Beschel play, they will be extremely intrigued. He is 6'5", 225 pounds. He is huge, and you know, the concern with players of that size is that they're not very good skaters. Not the best skater in the world, but for his size, quite fluid, actually. You know, he's not got the greatest foot speed, but I don't think he's slow by any means. I think he's just got to refine a little bit of, you know, his timing on his pivots in the defensive zone when he engages to close his gaps. But the best part about him is he's extremely physical, as you could imagine, loves to hit, you know, loves his stick checks in front of the net, is very good at boxing out players in front of the slot. And on top of that, I think he's got some hidden offensive upside. You know, at the junior levels, it kind of shine through a bit more, you know, scoring a bit more, getting involved, you know, leading the rush in transition. He's not going to be, you know, a crazy scorer in the NHL, I don't think, but, you know, a good maybe the production of a number three, number four with the size and the physicality of a first pairing defenseman. So he's another guy I like, and I think if he's available, that's not a bad pick there.
Okay, so I'm just going to say this. Liam Bischel, is that how you say that last name?
Leon with an N, not an M.
Leon, sorry. Yeah. Leon Bischel?
Yes.
So if this dude is 6'5" and 220 or whatever,
yeah,
and can skate well and can move well, you will have to restrain David Poile from drafting that person. And he's Swiss.
And he's Swiss, yeah.
Like, that's, I mean, if he's available, that's who they're going to take.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's where I've been kind of leaning. That's kind of the feeling I've been getting to. I can't imagine him going higher than 17, but I could be wrong. I mean, it's, you know, a lot of teams love a 6'5" defenseman who can skate, so.
Yeah, well, they just traded for a 6'5" defenseman in Philip Myers who can't skate, so they got half that.
And we'll soon be buying him out too.
Yeah, now there's talk of them buying him out. So yeah. It's like, wow, they need to desperately replace that.
Well, the Steven Santini buyout's off the books this summer, so they got to replace that.
Ooh. Well, now they can just go sign Steven Santini for the league minimum.
Absolutely.
now they're only paying Kyle Turris not to play.
Exactly. Yeah. For forever. Yeah. Did you hear it? I don't know if you paid attention at all. Last week, our show, Eric, we talked about what the Predators will look like in 5 years.
So I haven't listened yet.
By the beginning of 2027, the only players that will be on the Predators will be Roman Josi and Kyle Turris. Kyle Turris's dead contract will still be there. So anyways, all right. So, I mean, yeah, like I like the idea of the Predators just going back to the well, getting a defenseman again, getting a you know, a obviously a good skating defenseman and one that's got skills at both ends. But do you think there's a possibility they could also go forward?
Certainly, yeah. I think there's a good mix in the first round. A couple of players I'm looking at. One that really intrigued me is Connor Geeky, younger brother of Morgan Geeky. He plays for the Winnipeg Ice in the WHL. Once upon a time, Connor Geeky was kind of talked about as like a top 10 pick. I could see a scenario where he goes kind of shortly after the top 10. He is huge. He's like 6'4". He's a center, another big guy. He's got good hands. He's got a really good shot. I think he's a really smart offensive player, sees the offensive zone really well. The big concern for him, as it was with his brother, is his skating. You know, once upon a time, we were talking about the draft is if you are a bad skater, you were dead in the water, right? And now skating is kind of viewed as this teachable thing where, you know, as long as you have some good fundamentals, like teams who are more regularly employing power skating coaches can really fix that. I don't think he's slow per se, but he's never going to be like a burner at the NHL level. He's never going to like beat a defenseman out wide, you know, and get around him. But he's just so big that like there's a lot of like unlocking of his body and his like skating mechanics that you kind of got to do to really like get more speed out of him. But I could see Poile being interested in a player like that. And then I guess two more that are more on the skill side that are real wild cards are Jiří Kulich and Brad Lambert. I'll talk about Kulich quickly because he's the easier one. Czech center, I think 6'2", 6'3". Good skater, good speed, got a lot of skill, He's a little lean, but he's been playing in the pros all season, playing center in the pros too, in Czechia, which is impressive. You know, probably can work a little bit on his physicality and his defensive zone game, and maybe stares at the puck a little too much when he, you know, moves up in transition. But overall, I like his skill level. And then Brad Lambert is, I mean, I'll say this, and people will disagree with me, but if Brad Lambert's available at 17, they should run to the stage. Okay. Brad Lambert was once upon a time, like, in the discussion for being the first overall pick in this draft. I think he is still like a top five pure talent. But he's had a really tough year. Kind of ever since he was like coronated as a top of the class kind of guy, started out the season, really slowly was playing. He's playing in the Liga, in the men's pro league there, in Finland, had like 2 goals in 24 games for JYP, terminated his contract, went and signed with another team, Pelicans. 2 goals in 25 games there. You know, you're kind of left wanting more. Some people kind of criticize him for maybe not being super consistent shift to shift, but I think he can be a dominant player in the neutral and offensive zones, and he's fine on defense. Really good skater, great shooter, maybe not as good of a shooter as Joachim Kemmel, who's a fellow countryman. Very smart with the puck, great passer. He could skate circles around the offensive zone and not get the puck knocked off of him. But I think he just really struggled to gel with his team, his line mates this year. You know, it was clearly a bad situation with JYP. He had to get out of there. He did. Pelicans, not, I think, a particularly great team for his skill level. Play a very, like, dump-and-chase style hockey that he, you know, doesn't really thrive off of. He kind of needed faster line mates, I think, to succeed. And so there's kind of concern. I don't think this is like an Atu Rati situation where he's going to like drop all the way to like the second round. But, you know, again, for a guy who was once maybe the first overall pick, he's probably going to go 15 to 30 maybe. So it's a bit of a gamble, but I think it's worth it.
So Lambert, for like his drop off is really, it has nothing to do with other than just on the ice stuff, right? It's just like,
yeah.
Huh. And do you think that he kind of tracks as a center at the NHL level?
Probably not.
If he was to hit at the level you think he would hit, you think he would be a center?
I think he could have a successful career as an NHL center, but I think he probably ends up being more successful as a winger. I mean, it depends, right? Because it's almost like the Philip Tomasino debate, like question, right? Like, I think Tomasino plays well both as a wing and a center because he controls the puck, right? And he controls the pace of the shift, right? He can kind of set the tone for how fast his line mates are moving when he's not playing with Michael McCarron and Matthew Olivier, and in turn, how the defense is reacting. And I think Brad Lambert, at his best, can do that really, really well, better than Tomasino can. But he's just in this interesting phase where he's a teenager playing against men and, you know, with not great line mates and just a tough season overall that I think if you could hit the reset button on, like, you're seeing a totally different player. But, of course, that's kind of the gamble. That's the caution here, right, is you don't know which Brad Lambert you're going to get.
That's interesting. So, like, this is kind of the typical very high ceiling, but, you know, could also just do nothing, right? I mean, like could be a bust pretty quickly. That kind of
I mean, I don't know if I would say like he's, I mean, it's certainly possible he's a bust, right? But like you watch him play on his best nights and you're like, there's an NHL career in here, like no matter what, right? Like I think the concern is that like some teams won't have the patience to kind of deal with him and like, when I say that, it makes it sound like he's like this difficult character, but he's really not. Like he's got great marks personality wise as a person, but you know, some teams, I think Corey Pronman noted the other day, some teams are really concerned about his shift to shifting consistency. They think he takes nights off. Other teams don't really see that as an issue. So it really depends on just the attitude of the front office and whether we like it or not, that really just comes from, you know, preconceived notions and biases that these front office staff have. So you know, if they're willing to bet on him, I think that could really pay off. But at the end of the day, you kind of have to know what you're getting into with him.
And he's from Finland.
Yeah, so it's interesting because his name's Brad Lambert. He's from Finland, but he's actually, so his uncle is actually Lane Lambert, former Preds assistant.
Okay, and, all right. I thought that was going to come up, but I wasn't sure. Like, that's interesting. Wow, that's intriguing. I mean, like, so you would be pretty high on him if he was available. Were there any other forwards you were looking at that I know you talked? So you talked about Connor Geeky and Brad Lambert. You might have mentioned another one. Oh, Yuri Kulich.
Yeah. I would say the one other one kind of in the first round, this is probably not a pick I would make, but it does feel like a very David Poile pick to me, is who will be the second person who will be the second ever player drafted from Nebraska, from the U.S. National Team Development Program, and that's Rutger McGroarty, which is a great name.
That's a cool name, yeah.
Yeah.
Rutger McGroarty.
Yeah. He's an interesting player. I am not as high on him as others. I think he gets positive marks for, he's got a really good motor. I think he's constantly kind of shift to shift, stops and starts are great. He's always moving. He's always kind of in the right position off the puck. He's got good hands. He's got a good shot. I think he's kind of creative with the puck. He doesn't just do the same thing in the offensive zone. And he's got a good frame where he can really be like a powerful, almost like power forward-esque player in transition. The downside is his skating is really, really weird, and his foot speed is just not particularly there. And I know I said without Connor Geeky that can be worked on, and it certainly can, but he doesn't have the size that Connor Geeky does. And I have a lot of questions about how that team as a whole kind of work together and who was responsible for what. You know, whether it was Jimmy Snuggerud or more importantly Isaac Howard, I think, who carried a lot of the offense for that line. So I think he's great in that he's like a natural possession player, and he's a center, and he was the captain of the US team at the World U18 World Juniors. So that's gonna appeal to the 200 hockey men, you know. And I could see this being a very David Poile pick. Maybe not one I would make, but seems up his alley.
Interesting. I think if the defenseman from earlier, Bischel, is available and they take that guy instead, I think that would be disappointing. I would imagine.
Yeah.
Or this guy. I mean, you're selling me on Lambert quite a bit. Interesting. Okay, Sean, GM Sean.
Oh boy.
Hearing the options, would you go with the taller European skater that can score, European defenseman that can skate, or would you go with the high upside potential forward, you know, that could really look like a really steal of a pick in a couple of years this year? Which one would you go with?
Well, that's a great question. I'm not a gambling man. I know we've talked about this at length. I don't like to take big risks. So Lambert, I don't know if I'm in on as much as I like the potential of a Swiss giant. Because here's the thing, you know, if I'm running this team, I really want to promote it. You know, I want a spectacle, right? So it's almost like, and I know, Alex, we've discussed your just profound love for professional wrestling at length. It's something we discuss, you know, regularly on the show. Really, I'm surprised how much time it takes up.
Who wants the hammer?
He does! But I think you could look at, you know, he could be the Swiss hammer, and you know, that could be, you could have a whole, you could do a whole workup of it. It's a great angle. I think you could sell a lot of t-shirts. You could put butts in seats, and you know, Eric said, this is a very good player. I'm happy with a very good player. Cause again, who's going to be in charge of my drafting? Eric.
Eric so, is. Yeah.
You know, realistically, if he tells me, hey, look, this guy's good, I'm going to go, okay, let's do it. What can you tell me about him? When he says 6'5", Swiss guy. I'm like, all right, Swiss Hammer. And that's how we're going to bill him. And that's, we'll have shirts in the store on day one.
I do think that the defenseman route is the way to go. Especially because none of these forward prospects seem like ones that are going to blow you away. And you need to get back. If you're David Poile, if you're this organization, you need to get back to what you've been doing well, get back to your consistent strengths. The drafting and developing defensemen seems to be the best thing that they're good at. And goaltenders, of course, which obviously they're not going to draft a goaltender, but at least I don't think. I think I'm leaning defenseman too. Let's go back to initially, Eric, you said that you think they might trade back.
I don't know if they, I think they might. I think I would potentially advise it depending on how picks 10 through 15 or 17 go. If Bishop's off the board, if Minchikov's off the board, if one of Korchinski or Matichuk's off the board at 17, that means guys like Philip Mazar, potentially Marco Casper, guys who I think I like better but will be going higher than 17, I think, are falling back. So in that case, I mean, it's tough, right? Can you get how high of a second round pick can you get for moving back 10 spots?
Yeah.
Really, all that all depends is if you have a team in the back half of the first round who's fallen in love with a player, like the Bruins did with Trent Frederick a few years back, remarkably, then you can get them to do, you can get them to agree to any deal, right? So it kind of depends on what the attitudes are on draft day, really. A lot of moving parts, so.
What if it's like this? What if, all right, so it's 17, the top guys that you want are gone, but that McGroarty guy, Lincoln, Nebraska guy, is still there. What if they either take him at 17, or if they trade back, get something in like a, get another later pick and then trade back to like the early second and then take McGroarty there. Would that be better? Is that more in line with his value?
It probably is, but I don't think he's going to last that long is the problem. I could be wrong. I just feel like he's just like a classic 200 hockey men player. And I don't think they can help themselves. But there's a lot of, like, I think that if you put Isaac Howard, Jimmy Snuggerud, and Rutger McGroarty, they were all kind of on a line together at the U.S. team. They all have different strengths. I think Howard's the best of the three, then probably McGroarty, and then Snuggerud. On top of that, you've got Ryan Chesley, who's a defenseman, and Seamus Casey, who's a defenseman as well from that team. Like, one of those five guys is going to be available, probably more from 25 to 32, right? And I don't think there's a huge amount of difference between each of them. I think Isaac Howard probably has the biggest separation to the rest of the group, and I would guess he's probably gone by then. So if that's the case, then yeah, move back if you're targeting one of those guys. And
yeah,
if not, then whatever.
Cool. All right. Well, speaking of moving back, we are coming to the end of part two of our draft coverage here on the Preds with Sean Smith and Eric Dunabe on the forecheck. We are going to talk a little bit more about the later rounds of the draft and particular the Predators and where they pick and why they pick in those places. And then also maybe talk a little bit about next season in part three of this episode. So thank you very much for listening. Check out part three next week. We'll be right back.